Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Get Rich Slow Club podcast is a collaboration between Tash Etchman from Tash Invest and Anna Christina from Perla. The Get Rich Slow Club acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land we record on. From coast to coast, across land, waters, and communities, we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Any advice is general and does not consider your financial situation, needs, or objectives, so consider whether it's appropriate for you.
Welcome to the Get Rich Slow Club podcast,
where we take you from beginner to confident investor,
where we can teach you everything you need to know about investing.
So come get rich slow with us.
Today's episode is inspired by a question that we got from someone in our community. We're going to go through all the financial terms and jargon we hear, but may not know exactly what they mean. So grab some popcorn or a notebook if you want to write these down, and let's get to it. Let's kick it off with our money win and loss. Tash, what's yours for the week?
I had a really exciting offer from a company about a month ago, and it was the most money I've ever been offered for like a brand deal thing on social media. And they were super interested in it. They chased me down for it. They offered me more than I ever would have charged, which is a fun experience. And then they started asking me to work on the script and give them feedback on things and jump on calls with them. And I kept asking for a contract first because they didn't want to do work for free in case they changed their mind. They kept pushing and being like, yes, we've selected you. It's going ahead. We just want to jump on a call about this or something else. And they asked me to leave my calendar open as well. But then I got an email on the weekend or the end of last week saying, oh, sorry, we've decided not to go ahead with this, which is very annoying, but lesson in, remembering to get a contract before you do work for people.
So you did all this work for free and didn't get paid for it.
I kind of avoided doing like the actual feedback on the script and stuff like that and the actual work, but I did jump on calls with them to discuss compliance things because there were some things I was concerned about. And then, their answer in the end was like, oh, it's compliance issues, but interesting that they chased me for a month before deciding that. So the fun of working for yourself. Also, don't mentally spend the money before you've got it, because I was a bit excited and I was like, oh my gosh, I can do all these things now. But no, didn't get the money, which is fine.
The hard part is when you have a money loss like that, at least you learn from it, I guess, is the flip side, because I've been in situations like that too, where you're like, oh, something didn't fall through, but next time I'm going to make sure I get a contract in writing, or I'm going to make sure that I do X, Y, and Z. So I'm really sorry to hear that, because I know, especially when you're excited about something and it falls through, it sucks. But
yeah, that's okay. Usually I'm more reserved about it and I'm like, oh, I'll wait and see, because lots of these companies I find with like content work do fall through pretty often. But this one, I was like, no, they chased me. They offered me lots of money. They've been emailing me. It's not like a wide campaign thing, but that's okay.
Oh, better luck next time, right? I'm sure something new will come.
Yes. What's yours?
Mine is about my mortgage. I've talked about previously how I had part of my mortgage fixed at 1.89, and now it came off to, I think it was, they were trying to get it at close to 7%. But because the other part of my mortgage was on a variable and it was going up to 6.14, negotiated it down to 6.09. And then when I rolled off the fixed, I said, well, can you just match it and combine that mortgage into one mortgage at 6.09? And they said, okay. So I was very glad because it would have been closer to 7. And even just asking to roll it down from 6.14 from when the last raise went up. So I've said this a million times, but it helps to ask. And I was asking my broker, how often can you ask? Because this has come up in conversation. And they said every 6 months is worth asking, depending on the bank. They knew what bank will not talk to you. But for my bank, they said every 6 months.
Did you call the bank for the decrease or call your broker for that?
I called my broker for that. Yeah.
Okay. And they negotiated it for you.
Yeah, they did. So that was really fantastic. But you can call your bank too. And I haven't done that. I mean, I haven't done that here in Australia. I've done that in Canada where I've tried to negotiate it down and found comparable rates elsewhere and said I was going to go to another bank. But I haven't done it in this situation as well. So there we go.
Yeah. I haven't done it with mortgages yet, but I've done it with insurances. Like that's usually a good one when you just jump on a comparison website and see. But I've also found that they've been offering me pretty good ones where I don't need to change, which has been quite fun as well.
Well, the funny thing is our house insurance was up and I think I mentioned this or I don't know if I did, but my partner found a different insurance place for about $800 cheaper. So we jumped insurances. Yeah. And then funny enough, a week later, our original insurance dropped their price by like $300, but we already jumped ship. So it is interesting to kind of keep looking. It is a huge cost, like insurance, mortgage, energy bills. Those things can save you hundreds of dollars if you continuously look around, because the loyalty tax is huge. If I just stayed at 7%, that'd be huge, right?
Yeah. It's like if you've heard Ramit talking, he says to make the $30,000 choices and decisions, not the $3 ones. And this is definitely one of those in terms of mortgages for sure.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how many coffees I save myself from
buying. If you're paying 1% on your mortgage extra, that's a lot.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about some of the most common terms we hear when it comes to investing and broker language. Often they can be a little bit confusing, so we're just going to run down the basics so that you have a good understanding of what it all means.
And then we'll jump into some of the more complex broker-specific jargon later on. But to start off with, what is a share?
It's a single unit of ownership of a company. We also sometimes use the word stock, equity, and securities, but all these terms are often used for essentially the same thing, is that you are owning a little bit of a company.
They like to make it nice and confusing, but they all mean the same thing. Another popular word is index. This is a benchmark that measures the performance of a group of stocks. There's also yield. This is the return on investment expressed as a percentage. And my favorite things, dividends. These are a portion of a company's earnings distributed to shareholders.
And sometimes we also talk about dividend yield, and that is essentially the percentage that you're getting from that dividend.
So for example, if your share is worth $100 and the dividend yield is 3% a year, that means you'll earn $3 in dividends from your $100 in that share.
Another term that often gets used is risk and return. So risk is the potential for an investment to experience losses, something that you need to be cognizant of when you're investing.
Return is the gain or loss on an investment. It's typically expressed as a percentage. So you might see a 7% return or a 10% return.
Diversification. It's spreading investments across different assets to reduce risk. And this is something that's really important when you're putting together a portfolio, making sure that you're not invested just in one thing. You want to diversify so that you can reduce your risk.
This is why we love ETFs, but we'll get into that a little bit later. And volatility. This is the degree of variation of a price of a share over a specific period of time. This is kind of what you see with like, it's going up or it's going down and the market's crashing again and the red arrows and the green arrows. So volatility just means it doesn't increase in a nice straight line. It goes up and down a lot.
We often ignore those headlines that we see in the newspaper because they're just trying to get an emotion out of you in order to buy and sell and make things flashy. But we're long-term investors here. So we don't take any part in that.
We ride the wave. So jumping into it, shares, like we just said, can also be called stocks, equities, securities. They're all the terms to refer to ownership in a company. When you buy shares or stocks, you're essentially purchasing a portion of ownership in that company. In Australia, we usually say shares, but in the rest of the world, they may refer to them as stocks, and these terms can be used interchangeably. When you own a share, you may receive dividends, which is what we were just talking about, those little payments, maybe the $3 in your $100 investment.
And sometimes a good way to think about dividend payments is kind of like if you own an investment property, you're getting rent from that investment property. Similarly, dividends is a payment on the asset that you own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about index funds. Index funds and ETFs, which are exchange-traded funds, are similar in many ways, but there's some key differences between the two. Both index funds and ETFs are low-cost investment options that offer diversification benefits. They both track a specific index and aim to match the performance of that index. So, for example, an index fund that tracks the ASX 200 will invest in the same shares listed on the ASX 200, and an ETF that tracks the same index will also seek to replicate its performance.
When we say low cost, we're referring to the management fees involved. So when you buy an index fund or an ETF, there will be a fee for the fund manager to buy and sell those stocks that are part of that basket of shares. So low cost just refers to that percentage being quite low. Like some ETFs in Australia are 0.03% a year in management fees, which is very cheap. The main difference between index funds and ETFs lies in their structure and how they're traded. Index funds are a type of managed fund, which means they are bought and sold at the end of the trading day at their net asset value, often written as NAV, N-A-V. On the other hand, ETFs are traded on an exchange throughout the trading day, just like individual stocks. This means that ETFs offer more flexibility in terms of buying and selling, as they can be traded at any time during market hours. In Australia, ETFs seem to be more popular, but in the US, I seem to hear more people talk about index funds. When someone says index fund as well, they may also just be referring to an ETF. I also find myself saying that where I say, I just buy index funds. But what I really mean is I buy an index tracking ETF.
That was something that I Googled quite a bit in the beginning of my investment journey. I was like, what is the difference between an index fund and an ETF? And the way I often think about it is there's an index, it's a benchmark that gets followed. And then there are ETFs, which are exchange traded funds that can buy that type of index as well. So that's how I differentiate the two. But yeah, the two are almost one and the same, but they aren't really.
Mm-hmm. ETF is just the structure that holds the shares, really.
Yeah. So let's just talk a little bit about what an ETF is. So they're designed to track the performance of a specific index, sector, commodity, or asset class. And back to that comment, there are a lot of different indexes or indices, as we say as well. So just another bit of jargon. ETFs offer investors a way to gain exposure to these different portfolios of securities without having to buy individual securities separately. So for example, you don't have to go and buy Apple and Amazon and all these different companies. You can actually just hold them in a basket. There are some pros to ETFs.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And some of the big ones are diversification. So you're holding a basket of securities, or as we said, securities, shares, stocks, all the same thing, which helps spread risk across multiple companies or assets. There's also liquidity. You can buy and sell them quite easily and flexibly. That's what liquidity means. It's just how easily you can sell and buy things. Like houses are not as liquid. You can't sell a house tomorrow, whereas cash and shares are. Then there's transparency. So ETFs disclose their holdings on a daily basis, allowing investors to see exactly what they own. And they're cost effective, which Tash just talked about. They have a lower expense ratio compared to actively managed funds, making them cost effective.
The expense ratio is essentially just a percentage that's used to evaluate the cost of managing an investment fund. So you can usually see it as a percentage of the fund's overall assets or money.
And these are just some of the reasons why ETFs are beneficial.
Let's jump into another acronym starting with E, ESG, which is often referred to as ethical investing, but it actually stands for environmental, social, and governance. It's a framework used to evaluate the sustainability and ethical impact of a company or an investment. The first component of ESG is environmental. This refers to a company's impact on the environment, including its carbon emissions, energy use, waste management, and resource conservation.
Then there's social, which includes its treatment of employees, community engagement, diversity and inclusion, labor practices, and human rights.
Governance includes factors such as board composition, so the gender breakdown, executive compensation, shareholder rights, transparency, and ethical business practices. ESG investing has gained popularity as investors increasingly recognize the importance of sustainability and responsible business practices. This is a question I get asked a lot on Instagram, and we just did an episode with Nick from Perla all about different ESG ethical ETFs. If you're wondering what to buy, you can go have a listen to that episode for some ideas.
We also have an episode with Erica Hall where she talks about all of the different things when it comes to ESG investing. So it is very personal and everyone has a different opinion. So that's fine.
Two terms you might hear lots in movies about investing is bear and bull markets. A bull market is just a market characterized by rising prices. This occurs when there's a rise of 20% or more in a broad market index over at least a 2-month period.
And the bear market is the opposite. So it's a market characterized by falling prices. And it's defined by a prolonged drop in investing prices. Generally, it happens again if the index falls by 20% or more from its most recent high. The way I like to think about it is a bull has horns and it's reaching up to the sky. And a bear, on the other hand, is using its claws to hit the ground downward.
If you're investing for the long term, a bear market might seem scary, but it just means that you can buy more shares at a discount, hopefully.
The next term that gets thrown around a lot is basis points. So basis points are also known as BIPs or BPS. They are a unit of measure used in finance to describe the percentage change in value of a financial instrument or the rate change of an index or a benchmark. Okay, that was a bit of a mouthful. But for example, one basis point is equivalent to 0.01%. So that's 0.01%. Or 0.0001 in decimal form. Now, I know, it sounds very complex, but here's another example. If you say that interest rates on a loan increase by 25 basis points, it means that the rate has increased by 0.25%. You hear it a lot in the news, nothing to be alarmed about. It's not 25%, it's 0.25% or 25 basis points.
It's how the RBA usually quotes their cash rate rises. They'll say 25 basis points, which does sound like a lot, but yeah, they only mean 0.25%. I don't know why they just don't use percent numbers. It's interesting how sometimes they use basis points and other times percentages.
I don't know actually why as well. I think it's just to be a bit more precise because maybe there's more numbers after that, but I have no clue. Like yeah, maybe it's like 235 basis points, you know, it's like 0.23. Anyways, whatever.
Next, we have ticker symbols. These are just the codes used to identify shares on the stock exchange. For example, the symbol for Apple is AAPL, or you may have heard of VDHG, VAS, A200. These are all the ticker codes or symbols for those stocks.
It's sometimes really simple to just Google them, like Google VAS, what's in VAS, how much does it cost, all these things. So you can use the ticker to find that instead of having to put the whole name in.
Yeah. What is it? Vanguard Australian Shares Index Fund, ETF or something.
Yeah.
You may hear the word quantity. So this is kind of going into broker terms a bit more now. And this refers to the number of shares, contracts, or lots an investor wants to buy or sell. So it specifies the volume of the trade.
And the value refers to the monetary worth of a security, commodity, or a currency that an investor wants to buy or sell. So it can also refer to the total value of transactions calculated as the quantity of an asset multiplied by its price per unit.
Let's talk a little bit about orders and types of orders when you're buying shares. So to start off with, an order is just an instruction given to a broker to buy or sell a specified amount of shares in a company at a specified or unspecified price. When you decide to buy or sell, you place an order through a brokerage account, and there's a few different things that you need to specify. So some of these include the quantity, which is the number of shares you want to buy or sell, the order type, which we'll dive into just after this, the price, so the price of the share, the duration. You can set orders that are good until cancelled, good till the end of the day, or until they expire.
So usually when you're investing on a platform, you can choose the type of order that you want to invest in. There's limit, at market, and conditional. The first one, a limit order, is a type of order to buy or sell a security at a specific price or better. A buy limit order can only be executed at the limit price or lower, and a sell limit order can only be executed at the limit price or higher. This gives the trader control over the price at which the trade is executed.
This is more used for people who are more concerned with short-term gains, so maybe a day trader or a short-term investor. But if you're investing for the long-term and just buying an index fund ETF, then you usually do an at-market order. This is an order to buy or sell immediately at the best available current price. So it does not specify the price and ensures that the order will be executed, but does not guarantee at what price. If you're buying a little niche mining company that doesn't have lots of volumes, lots of people buying and selling, you'll probably place a limit order. But if you're just buying ETFs, at market is fine because there's lots of people buying and selling all the time.
Then there's also conditional orders, which are advanced trade orders that are triggered by specific conditions set by the trader. These conditions can be based on price movements, time, or the execution of other trades. Conditional orders allow traders to set strategies that automatically execute when certain criteria is met.
If you're on a broker like ComSec, you'll probably see lots of these words like limit, at market, conditional, good till end of day, good till expiry. But if you use a broker like ComSec Pocket or Perla that simplified it for investors, often they'll just automatically give you an at mark order unless you go into the advanced settings to change it. So depending on which broker you go on, some will have lots of these options, but others will have simplified it for you. I usually just use market orders because I invest for the long term and don't really care about the smaller price changes of little niche penny stocks. But have you tried any of the others, Anna?
Yeah, I usually also do at market, but I have used limit order, and that was when I was owning shares in my previous company that I had a bunch of equity in, and small like cents changes really drastically changed the amount of money that I would get. So I know that there was this one time where I was like, oh, I have to be like really particular. I want to sell before it drops. And so I sat, put a limit order in it, and it didn't get executed because it didn't reach the amount. So I had to redo it again. So it's just something to be aware of. You might not, it might not be executed at the right time when you want if the price isn't met. So it's just something to be aware of.
No one wants to buy it for that price. Yeah,
exactly.
So you can try and get a good deal, I guess, and hope someone will buy it.
Yeah. But again, that was timing the market, right? I was actually timing the market. I was hoping that it wouldn't drop and selling at a certain price, which can be quite stressful.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah, just a different type of investing. Something you might see pop up on some brokers like eToro, for example, is CFD, which stands for Contract for Difference. This allows traders to speculate on price movements without actually owning the underlying asset. It offers the ability to magnify gains through leverage, but this also really increases the risk of losses. The leverage is expressed in a ratio, so you may see 10 to 1, indicating the amount of borrowed funds compared to traders' investment, but it is really, really, really risky. I think ASIC is actually suing eToro for selling these CFDs to retail investors. There's a few other things I've seen pop up, like class actions as well. So yeah, I don't think CFDs are suitable for everyday investors, and the risk is huge. But just be wary if you see that popping up, because sometimes they're advertised as this fun investing thing.
Another term that you might hear is a margin loan, and that's when you're able to borrow money to invest in shares, options, or managed funds. It's just something to be wary of because you are taking out a loan and investing. And if you don't have that money, it could turn out bad.
Yeah, the scary thing with margin loans is you have to maintain a certain loan to ratio value. And if the share price drops, there's things called margin calls where they ask you to top up your shares to bring that loan to value ratio back up. So when there's a 30% drop in the share market over a few weeks, maybe, and you have to top up your shares by quite a lot, that can, and you don't have the money for that, that can trigger a margin call and you may have to sell off some of your shares instead. So these things can be quite risky and don't go downhill quite quickly.
Just something to be aware of, but not things that we personally do or advocate.
No.
That's all for today. If by any chance you do have any terms that you've heard that you don't know what they mean, make sure to Google them, look them up, and take it upon yourself to learn a little bit more, because all these terms can be quite confusing, but we're all learning together.
And join our Facebook group, just search the Get Rich Slow Club, and you can ask more questions like this one, and we've been getting inspiration from their podcast episodes.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you found this episode helpful, please rate us 5 stars, write a review, or share with a friend. If you're new to investing, make sure to listen to our first 10 episodes. Follow us at Get Rich Slow Club or Tash at Tash Invest or me at Anna Christina.
This show was brought to you by Natasha Etchman, who is an authorized representative, 1299881 of Guideway Financial Services, AFSL 420367. And Perla, who is an authorized representative, 1281540 of Sanlam Private Wealth, AFSL 337927. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to investing. So make sure you check out our financial services guides and read the product disclosure statement and target market determination for any investments you're considering. See our show notes for more info.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.